Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 25, 2023. The Rose, the Assembly of Souls in Our World. Rabbi Hizkiah began, "It is written, as a rose among the thorns." What is a rose? It is the Assembly of Israel, meaning Malkhut. There is a rose, and there is a rose. Just as a rose among the thorns is tinged with red and white, the Assembly of Israel contains Din, judgment, and Rachamim, mercy. Just as a rose has 13 petals, the Assembly of Israel consists of 13 qualities of Rachamim, surrounding it on all sides. Introduction to the Book of Zohar, The Rose. Comment: the article The Rose is the first article in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. When reading these lines, it is clear that something is encoded here. It probably says something important here if these are the first words in such a great book. My response: the fact is that the rose means an assembly of souls that receive some kind of fulfillment from above from the Creator and then distribute it among the lower layers of souls. In this way, it descends into our world. Question: but why rose? We know that there is a root and a branch. That is, a Kabbalist sees some kind of root, spiritual state, and its consequence in our world. Why rose? Answer: this is what the authors of the Book of Zohar saw. They felt, learned, and revealed that the entire spiritual system descending from above from the Creator to humanity is such a structure. As a rose among the thorns, the mercy of the Creator, His influence on us, consists of two opposite forces, white and red. White is the quality of bestowal and love. Red, on the contrary, is the quality of rigidity and judgment. Both qualities are being looked at relative to the upper system that governs souls sometimes by mercy, sometimes by judgment. This already depends on people. That is why they are told about this. The authors of the Book of Zohar saw the assembly of all souls in our world in the form of a rose, how it blooms, how it is controlled by two forces, and how the descent of the upper forces on it, on the entire society, and on all of humanity depends on its internal state. From CAB TV's Introduction to the Book of Zohar, June 4, 2023. The purpose of evolution. Question: let's say a simple rural guy comes to the city. Suddenly, due to circumstances, he unexpectedly becomes a star. In a matter of seconds, the whole nation finds out about him. He begins to look at people differently and behave differently so that he can be seen from a different side. What is this game of egoism? How do these transformations occur in a person? Answer: the fact is that you are talking about some small animal interests. Go to an ordinary psychologist, he will tell you everything. Comment: but surely this has some spiritual background. My response: what background? To bring all egoists to the realization that they are insignificant and that life is worthless, that everything ends without any right interest, so that they finally ask, what is the meaning of my life? That is all. Evolution is going exactly to this. Now humanity will be given a couple more final chord blows on the head, so that everyone will ask what for? And begin to listen. Comment: but human egoism goes through certain stages of development: honor, power, fame, knowledge. My response: yes, everyone develops in their own direction. From CAB TV's I Got a Call. How to Become a Star. May 14, 2011. We will see right through each other. Comment: if you ask any person to name some recent movie, a blockbuster that offers people a good option for the future, one that is not frightening, but kind, any person will have to think. I think there has not been any movie like that for 30 to 35 years. The entire film industry and all human thinking cannot seem to create films with some kind of good future. Answer: no, everything is aimed at scaring. comment, we are constantly being shown some kind of apocalypse and all sorts of dystopias. But this is people's request. After all, Hollywood clearly feels the demands of the people. If money were paid for a good ending, the endings would have been good. My response: I think that today it is really difficult for a person to imagine a good end to the world or even some kind of cloudless, shining future. This is something impossible. Therefore, the best thing that is closer to us is to create something terrible. Question: does a person really not want to watch some kind of fairy tale about a good ending so that he is assured that it can happen? Is it right or not to create such a thing and introduce this into the subconscious? Answer: but you say that there are people in Hollywood who understand human needs. That is probably why they do it. Question: this is a paradox for me. A paradox. Doesn't a person want to go to the cinema? Answer: people will not go for these sweet things. They do not see it around them, and they will not believe it in the movies either. You can show movies about love or something else, but not about a good, warm, and kind future. Question: when there was a Great Depression in America, in the 20s to 30s, the first musical film The Jazz Singer was released. And the father of a family took the last dollar and gave it to sit with the family and watch this movie. That is, out there is horror and darkness, people jumping out of windows, and here I have this movie playing, and I am sitting and watching. Do you think it will not be profitable to create such a kind, warm future? Answer: no one will do it today. Firstly, people no longer believe. Once upon a time they were more naive and believed such things could exist. They sat, cried, and dreamt. And now, after we have gone through such a bumpy path and were all thoroughly shaken up by endless wars that take place every minute in different parts of the world, I think that no movie will calm us down. Question: then tell me, what are you personally for? Who are you for? Answer: I am not for Hollywood because releasing some kind of naive, sweet beauty with a good future is disgusting, cloying, and deceitful. And to release movies about serious suffering, of course it is possible, but how many films like that are possible? Films, in principle, with a more or less good ending, are still filled with all kinds of suffering. They are successful because they drag the audience into suffering, and then they still show some of his good features. Goodness wins. Question: what kind of movie would you create? Would you not create a movie with some kind of ending that a person would believe in? You say that we should come to good connections. Answer: but I am not an artist. I cannot imagine how you can draw such a picture for, say, 1.5 to 2 hours that would still leave a warm impression. Question: it is possible such movies are created that you can leave the cinema with a warm feeling? How can you make a person believe in a good, kind ending, as you say all the time, in connection, which one way or another will happen, and in love, to which one way or another we will come? Answer: no. I do not think a person can believe it. The only thing he can do is agree with a movie like, say, Forrest Gump. It is a big movie. Comment: that is a great movie. In my opinion, it is a wonderful movie. My response: but this is about a person who is not quite normal. Comment: yes, he is abnormal for everyone, but he turned out to be the most normal of all, loving and able to love. My response: but it is still unrealistic. And if such a reality is possible, then only in such an instance. I cannot imagine how you can do something like that to attract people. Even if you attract them, they will leave the cinema and forget. Comment: because reality is different. My response: how can you make a person different with the help of cinema? I do not think there will be such masters. Question: still, what kind of movie would you make? One that would really work. What should it lead to? Answer: I have not seen such a movie that would change people and lead them to some serious internal changes. Question: but would you like them to exist? Answer: of course. Who would not want that? Almost everyone wants a good future. But I do not know. Question: are you saying that if a movie would change a person, then you are for such a movie? Answer: yes. Question: if the first condition is that the movie changes the person, the second question is, from whom to whom or from what to what? Answer: from who he is now. Now he is just a beast that thinks only about himself and cannot think about others. Or if he can think about others, then only in what form what he does to them will bring gain to him. If a person is actually given absolute freedom, then he will be absolutely indifferent to what is around him except to the extent of the space around him that he can look at and see that it is pleasant to his eye. Comment: this is a man of today. My response: this is a man. Question: we are talking about correction. What should this beast come to? Answer: he should begin to understand that the most important thing is when you rejoice in others. And for this it is necessary to change the nature of man. Question: rejoice in others, what do you mean by this? Answer: it is when it is good for others, it is good for you. But how can this be? On the contrary, you rejoice that you are better than others, that is, when they are worse than you. Question: so, one way or another, do you always lower others so that they are lower than you? Answer: naturally, but you should raise them. Question: is this the main change? If there were such a movie and it will attune a person like this, are you in favor of such a movie? Answer: I am for such a movie, but it would not be successful. Question: financially? Answer: not in any way. No one will admire it. Comment: you do not want to imagine, you are returning to reality. My response: I cannot dream for a long time, I am not young anymore, to put it mildly. Question: how will we come to such a movie then? We are in some movie right now. It is clear that this cinema is our world. This movie is mostly a horror movie. How will we come to another movie after all? You say that it is embedded in us to come to it and we will one way or another. Answer: I do not know. Perhaps this is possible through the younger generation whose love will make us, the elderly, become different. One way can be for the sake of our children and grandchildren. It can also be a general revelation of evil where we all realize how ugly we are egoistically. Comment: but this can only be after great suffering. My response: I do not know. Suddenly such a revelation will come even without suffering. And we will be ashamed to look at each other. Question: does it somehow depend on us? Answer: not particularly. Imagine that wherever you are, on the subway, on the bus, somewhere on the road, among people, that everyone is looking at you and everyone understands who you are. And you look at others and also understand who they are. And you cannot run away from it. Question: do I have to go further on the bus with them? Answer: yes. In general, this is a good setup. And after that you have to work on yourself. Question: so this movie is not bad when I see who they are, do they see who I am? Answer: yes. One day all people will begin to see each other correctly, transparently, through and through. Question: I see. I am like naked to them, and they are like naked to me. I can see everything. And how will I see myself in such a situation? Answer: the same. That is how you see yourself. You look where to hide, and there is nowhere to go. Question: we will make such a movie, we will approach it. And if this happens, like in a glass house, in this bus in which everyone sees everything, there is nowhere to hide, and what should we do in such a situation? Answer: there is no need to hide anywhere. It should be the opposite. Here it is necessary to work on everyone's realization that we are all like that and that we must immediately begin to change ourselves every minute on the spot. And without being shy. Literally every minute, what is revealed in us is so that we correct it. Question: so you are saying that the horror of this realization will unite us? Answer: yes. It will unite us and help us become different. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 18, 2023. Reconciling contradictions. Question: why is my group suffering like I am? Answer: no, you just see it this way in your distorted perception. If your thoughts, from morning to evening in your free time from work where you are free to think and feel, or even at work, were about spirituality, and if you also helped the group think about it and advertise this lifestyle to you, you would soon be able to feel all this. Question: why is it not only me but also my friend from the group who has shown that we cannot come to this feeling for quite a while? Answer: in order for him, too, to mobilize all his strength for this. Question: if the problem is in my perception, why does a friend suffer from this? Answer: it is in your perception that he suffers, there is nothing other than you. This group and everything else is in your perception. Comment: but you are constantly under some pressure. My response: I feel no pressure. I am in a state as if I am throwing myself into cool water that engulfs me on all sides and feeling myself dissolving in it. It is such a wonderful feeling. Question: even if you don't look at it on the outside? Answer: externally, this is my animal body. It can suffer. It feels heaviness, age, and so on. Also on the inside, I don't feel the way I described, that is, in a state of perfection and joy because I am included in everyone else, I depend on them and they depend on me. There are some other factors that force me to do various things. What's the difference? Neither you nor anyone else will be able to understand it until everything is revealed to them. It is impossible to reconcile the perception of the world in each of us that we all exist, me, the group, and everyone, and that I depend on them and they depend on me, and at the same time say, no, they exist only in my imagination. And all these are my properties that I see before myself. A person cannot reconcile these two concepts within himself, nor in general all contradictions pertaining to the perception of the spiritual universe and ours, because he does not yet consist of the spiritual quality. Once he acquires both properties, ours, the property of receiving, and the spiritual, the property of giving, he will be able to perceive everything correctly. From CabTV's I Got a Call. The Route of Success, March 6, 2011. Manipulating people. Comment: in the world there are some people who manipulate others. For example, when thoughts are introduced to people in order to sell them products, etc. My response: these are ordinary, usual PR techniques. Comment: essentially, as long as there is egoism, it will always sell something and buy something. My response: yes. As long as there is something to buy and to sell. Question: but there is still a level where someone enjoys manipulating others. How can we avoid creating circles that deceive themselves? Answer: you can't do anything. Naturally, our selfishness unites us into various power structures where a group is organized that seeks to push its own opinion, its own will, to lobby. That is also lobbying. There are all sorts of lobbyist groups in the government. These are so-called influence groups that seek to change public opinion and everything else. Question: why do we need it if these are all just toys? Answer: but they don't know that. They still believe they can change something. On the one hand, everything is controlled from above. On the other hand, the government puppets at the bottom believe that power is in their hands and they can do anything. They are even shown how they can act: I'll take you and do this and that. In the end, everything originates from above and the rulers only implement it, even though what they do harms them and their own people. We think we are doing something. It would be better if we sat and did nothing. If you don't want to change yourself, then at least don't try to change others. From CabTV's I Got a Call. Brainwashing. May 14, 2011. Is the path to peace through nuclear weapons? Question. In 1862, during the U.S. Civil War, Richard Gatling invented the Gatling gun, a rapid-fire, multi-barreled weapon. He hoped that the gun would demonstrate the folly of war and discourage large-scale war. He is quoted as saying, "It occurred to me that if I could invent a machine, a gun, which could by its rapidity of fire, enable one man to do as much battle duty as 100, that it would, to a large extent, supersede the necessity of large armies, and consequently, exposure to battle and disease, would, be greatly diminished." Was he just calming himself that he was creating weapons of destruction with the certainty that if everyone had such weapons, we would be wary of entering into some kind of war? Or is there some grain in this? Answer, there is a grain. All the developers of weapons still believe that they are doing some kind of good deed. They just do not understand that egoism is at the base of nature. And until humanity gets to the point where it sees what remains behind it, mountains of corpses, it will make a lot of people unhappy. Question: if everyone had nuclear weapons now, would it add to the danger? Or would it add to the danger of entering into conflicts? What more? Answer: yes, people would be afraid. Question: is it because of the global nature of nuclear war? Answer: because the end is clearly visible in front of them. Today, after all, nuclear weapons are not used. And why? Because it already exists on both sides. Therefore, there would be an instant response. Question: do you think it adds security when everyone has nuclear weapons? Answer: I believe that the proliferation of nuclear weapons in normal countries, where it can be controlled, is the way to peace. What else can you do? Today there are probably 30 countries with nuclear weapons. And now it is still relatively calm globally. They calm each other down, put pressure on each other, do something, hold some secret negotiations. Yet, we are still alive. Question: why is it safe? Is this the nature of fear? Answer: of course. Restriction is a very serious motivation. If I can get the same thing in return, and I know what it is, because I also have it, then it is already as if it does not exist. Imagine, about 30 countries have nuclear weapons, including Pakistan, Iran, and North Korea. And thanks to this, everything is calm. Comment: meaning, the completely headless ones also have it. My response: it seems to us that they are headless. No. When you have such a thing in your pocket, your head starts working out of fear. Question: but they say, fearless people, fearless man. What is it? Is it not good when there is no fear in me at all? Answer: it can be either a completely mentally ill person or one who thus wants to destroy the world, after us, even the flood. But today, I think it cannot be. Because a whole group of people have to work to push the button in the end. Comment: yes, there is some kind of security system. My response: yes. They themselves are interested in this. Nuclear weapons are becoming a threat, nothing more. Question: what conclusion can be drawn from all this? Answer: it is thanks to this that we are going the wrong way. But it is thanks to that, that we will come to the need to make the world different. Question: will we ever come to the need for disarmament or not? Answer: I do not know how to say it. I do not think we will come to this by ourselves, but nature will bring us to it. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 29, 2023. New Life 295. One Emotion and One Mind.
Hello and thank you for joining us. We're here at the series of talks on New Life with the Rav Leitman. Hello, Rav Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. And we welcome you to listen on to this talk and to participate emotionally with this talk and cognitively and to follow this discussion that we're going to do today. And to have today, it's going to be a second discussion on the topic of life and death. We've learned from the Rav Lightman how to use the processes of pregnancy and birth to developing a new consciousness of connection towards the connection between us and to ourselves and to our inside the family, to the baby and even the embryo. And at the end of our lives, there's also a very interesting phenomenon that shapes our thoughts and feelings about lives, which is death. And we would like in this discussion to learn the integral perception of life that Rav Lightman has and to take the right way to approach this phenomenon, this event that happens at the end of our lives and influences all of us, whether it happens in our family or with relatives and so on. So, Nitza, why don't you help us into the talk? So, actually, if we need to accompany a person in this process of dying, it could be an old person, it can be a young person. And he always teaches that these moments of crisis also hold opportunity within them. So, an opportunity to develop or learn. So the question is, can you teach us from your approach and give us some tools how to cope and deal correctly with such a moment when we experience such a process that is not simple and to be able to develop from it and to attain or gain a new shared consciousness or understanding with this person who's dying and also the family that accompanies him. I think that if we tell him about this extracorporeal life, the integral life, then by that we explain to him that by that we don't stop to exist, but we're only saying goodbye to the body, getting rid of it. This is why it's called niftar, to get rid, to die. And we arrive at a new reality, and in this new reality, we need to see this new turnaround. Just like a person who's developed inside the womb and was born into our life, to this life, and afterwards has all kinds of processes and periods in development. Also, when he begins to develop into the integral world, he also needs to have exactly the same processes of development, except they're not measured according to days, nights, weeks, and so on. They're already called states or steps, degrees, levels of development. How much does he unite and bond with others in his new consciousness? And then in his perception of this new field of the common heart, the common mind, he goes through this process of perception. It's called his days of smallness. And when he's there, he doesn't know exactly in what way and how. But he exists. He doesn't know exactly all the reasons and results of his actions towards the connection with this spiritual public on this degree or level. But there are rules that he begins to know gradually. According to what can he advance? Can he come closer? Can he connect more? And he studies this new world, this new system, the way he relates to this new nature, which is all giving and bestowing. Its nature, this nature, its quality is love and giving. How can he identify himself with this system? And in accordance to that, also develop love and bestow to everyone. So he goes through all these phases that are called pregnancy, and then breastfeeding, and then mochin, which is the brain, cognitive consciousness or awareness, and there he discovers the different worlds and paltzufim. This is what the different parts of the systems of the connection are called, whether they're closer or farther, and this continues until he gets to the entire system, in accordance to how much he can correct himself. In participation, in connection, in love. This is what's before him. And this is what we can explain to a person. Until he understands and knows that there is this new process before him. Life continues with this higher harmony, these laws, higher laws, instead of reception giving. And the development continues. And actually, what you're finishing here is you're getting rid of your ego and moving into a state, a world that is all good, that is all love. And you discover each and every one that supports and helps, even in ways that are for and against. He also discovers all kinds of forces that are positive or negative, supposedly, only supposedly. But he studies the system, how to use the combination of these two forces in order to be integrated correctly in the system. And then it opens up for him, before him. A life of development. And getting rid of his physical body, the will to receive, actually. Our physical body is not physical. Its essence is a desire to absorb, to receive, to enjoy through everyone. And then he achieves this new approach. It's actually a psychological turnaround, and there is no fear here, actually, from the loss of anything. The opposite is the truth. He gets rid of the lowliest level, which is very miserable, and goes up to a good, nice level. And so I think that here we can maybe write a story, or there are all kinds of things we can do, but in our integral education we simply need to explain in the same direction and spirit of connection to everyone, that by that he rises above the death of the body. So let's say I'm now accompanying a family that is going through this process. I'd like to help them. And you said that there's this theoretical knowledge that I can tell them, but we know that that's not enough. I would like to go through a process with them. What is this process that would be right for me to go through with them? Well, it's only through conversations, talks, and workshops, as usual, where we can describe to a person the same processes that a person goes through when he attains the quality of bestowal, the feeling of others instead of the feeling of myself, where love thy friend as thyself. He begins to love himself, where all of his concerns at every moment is how to keep himself feeling good. When he begins to care for others, by that he stops this concern for himself. And then he receives the support from the environment that neutralizes this concern for himself. And then he, by that, is integrated with these problems, these lacks, these new lacks that are outside his body. And therefore, when his body dies, then it's not a loss, not good or bad, because he feels that the place from which he receives the feeling of life, its lack and its fulfillment, is not inside him, but it's in the connection that he has with others. And so the fear of death disappears. Well, there's such a situation where in a family a member comes nearer to his leaving this world, and there are two factors. One is the person himself and the other is his surroundings. So let's try to look at this from each of these angles. There is the influence of the event and the way that the family treats the person, and then there's the person himself. And I'm more curious about the person himself. Let's say, God forbid, it's very common today, let's say that a person is diagnosed with cancer, and within a while there's already an understanding that within a while this person will end his life. So what, according to this perception of life that you are illustrating, of fulfillment of oneself, and the connection of love instead of to myself to connect to others, how is it possible for this person to go through this period in life to use it optimally? Let's say there wasn't an awareness of what you say before, and in this status, how is it possible, out of this world of knowledge that you come from and perception of life, what can you say to a person in such a state so that it would cause, get this person to fulfill this time that he has left, whether it's days or months or years? How can you help this person maximize his life? Through what I just spoke of, when I explained to this person, let's say this is Oren, God forbid. So, but I have nothing more to say. I can only open up these things more and more, just talk about it more widely. But this person probably has all kinds of thoughts about, you know, he'll be willing to hear you. We know, that's otherwise we wouldn't be having this talk. So we want to understand from this emotional state where a person is willing to hear, what do you approach him with? He's willing. What do you tell him? I come to him to tell him that life is not like animalistic lives. That they're not like with animals. It's a life on the level of connection between us, where we can attain the essence, the new essence of life. Where we live and truly develop in an unlimited way, with a lack that cannot be fulfilled with love in an unlimited way. It's not like I can eat or sleep. Everything is limited, including life itself. When? As long as I'm inside this body. Now, when a person is about to die, or in general? No, in general, when you're alive in this world and during over your lifetime. My desire is limited. Food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge, it's all limited, either by the amount that I can absorb or by the environment that does not give me the option to do so. Food, sex, and family are the physical body, and I'm limited by my physical body. Money, honor, and knowledge, and control, all these things that we have on the human level, not on the human degree, the spiritual level, but on the human level. But the aspiration that people have. And I'm limited by society in these. Society doesn't give this to me. I want all the money in the world. I want all the honor, all of the control, all the knowledge. Am I given this? No. So, in this corporeal life, I'm limited by the body. What do you mean physical? How much do I eat? Yesterday, for example, I had this meal before me, this beautiful meal, and 10 minutes later, I was so sad, and I didn't have any more room to eat more. And beforehand, you thought you would eat for an entire hour. Yeah, and then I needed to jog for an hour. Okay, I understand. So I'm limited with the physical enjoyments because I have these limitations. Right, and then as much as you fill yourselves up, then you ruin the displeasure, because if you eat so much, then you don't want to eat anymore. Your desire disappears. So it's clear with food and sex, once you fill these desires up, they disappear, and you don't want more and more and more. After a while, it's renewed. That's something else, like with food. And with the family, it's the same. So here, you're limited through your body, by your body. And apart from that, there is money, wealth, honor, where you also have control, a kind of oppression, repressing others, and knowledge. Here it is society that does not allow you to use these things, only a little bit in your small area. You can attain this for yourself and also through struggles with others. And that's it. This is all of our lives. It's a limited life, and you also never fulfill this lack. What do you mean by lack? These aspirations? Oh, simply your desire, because once you fill your desire, what's missing is called the lack. By fulfilling my desire, the desire disappears, or somebody limits it, right? But it's over, I can't use it anymore to fill it. That's life. So then you're limited in this life. However, in the life of bestowal, not the fulfillment of myself, but of others, if you enjoy that, you are unlimited. You can supply for everyone whatever you want. An attitude, warmth. It's unlimited, because this is why it's called an eternal life. There's no direction in this, not in space, not in movement, not in time, not in power, anything. And in bestowal, nobody limits you. And nobody else limits you either. Those who are willing to receive your bestowal, your giving, they are open to you. They do not reject you. And then it comes out that the feeling of existence on this level is the feeling of eternal existence, whole, unlimited existence. That is what we need to reach. The current crisis, our entire lives, especially today in this time, at this time, it's pushing us to it. It's pushing us into this new degree. How? We need to feel during this time that there is no food, there is no sex, there is no family, there is no money, there is no power or honor or knowledge, nothing. A completely miserable life. And then what do? I prefer death over life. I feel such angst, such troubles that I prefer even to die than to live this way. So what do? This is where the representatives of the integral education come in, and they explain there's a solution, and what a solution it is, and what a life we're heading into. But why haven't we arrived at it before? Because you didn't want to hear about it. Now you are interested in hearing, and we've waited for this moment, and this is why we come to you. Listen. And then we tell him about our entire agenda. But there aren't that many days to live. That doesn't matter. Even though I'm not talking about whether we can control this process, this final process. Well, I know, it's fate. No, it's not fate. We'll talk about it another time. How does one use these days? By constantly trying to be above your body, to attain as much as possible as many feelings and knowingnesses of this upper world. What do you mean upper world? The world of bestowal, of love, of giving, connection, unity, arvut, mutual guarantee.
I'm
Is there a kind of exercise that somebody can do, that a person can do? Of course, that's why we have the workshops except for the talks. Yeah, but something specifically that's specific for one's situation, maybe you can't even come physically to this workshop, something that will grab him exactly where he is at. Only through talking to a person in a situation, helping him into an emotional state which will be above his physical state, so that he'll be in intentions for bestowal and connection as much as possible. Let's say I want to do that. I want to be in these intentions of bestowal and love and connection as much as possible. Right, and by that this person will begin to feel how much easier he feels with his mood, and even in the process that the illness is causing him to go through, because everything he goes through is only in order to push him and get him closer to this upper dimension. Again, slowly, you said that he needs to try to be as much as possible in these thoughts on bestowal and connection. So one needs to think more and more about bestowal and connection. Can you give a number of... We talk about what we just talked about a little more in this shared conversation with him. You mean for those around him to talk to him? Yes, me, myself, somebody who comes to him to talk to him in conversations. Do we take him to have talks with people who are like him in a circle, in chairs, or in, maybe on the internet. Maybe it's possible on the internet, but it's a treatment. It's just like he goes to receive treatment somewhere. So let's say in a workshop for such people, let's say we put them all on Skype and do a workshop with them, people whose days are numbered. And they're, I think this could be a very special place in a person's lives and emotionally. That's right. So what kind of workshop would you do with them? A workshop like I would do one-on-one. I would turn to such a person from the screen and tell him about everything that I have to tell him, how to rise above the illness, above the body, above feelings of his egoistic feelings, and towards the connection with others, participation with others, love of others, and as much as he can to feel how much, if he transfers his concern from himself to others, how much it helps him to get out of his body that is ill to a new body, the spiritual body, to the system. So much so that I think that we can also feel the influence of this in the body itself, which will be positive. In accordance to that rule, that all in all, it's one system, both spiritually and in corporeal, in the corporeal level, and whatever he receives on the corporeal level is only in order to push him, like a crisis, towards the spiritual state, towards the connection with others, which is called spiritual. And if he walks towards that, continues towards that, advances towards that, then there'll be no suffering, no disasters to push him from behind. They will already become more smaller or even disappear. So now let's go to others, which are the ones who are surrounding him, the family, let's say. Oh, family, relatives, friends, people around him. Let's say the close family. What important things would you emphasize out of this perception of love thy friend as thyself that you teach us? Could they use in these special situations in life? What can you tell and give to these relatives when they have to accompany one whose days are numbered? When you talked about previous states in a person's life, you gave very precise guidelines which will help and give maximal profit or benefit, let's say, for the embryo. And now I'm talking about the other end of life. What kind of optimal attitude or approach would you recommend or teach people to give to this person and also for themselves, because this raises general thoughts. Everybody is in a kind of a storm of emotions and thoughts during such a time. I don't know, we have a lot of materials about this, but we just need to fit it for this person. It's about connection and unity. It's about what we attain from this connection. How does the family member, how do they need to relate to this person? They need to treat him as if this person is not finishing his life. That he's advancing and moving forward and going from this life to a higher life, to a spiritual life. They need to relate to him in a way that he's only getting rid of the body and not more than that. We just need to cause him more ability to connect to this dimension of bestowal. Connection with others, the love of others. They need to participate in it emotionally. They also need to go through changes in accordance to that. They need to talk to him about it. We should give them materials for how to speak about it, there is such a thing. Talking between them, with him. Yes, they need to help him to get rid of this body before the body dies itself. Because the body is a physical body, flesh. And truly, a person's body is his will to receive for himself. Explain. So they need to help him get rid of the egoistic body and to move, to transit, to bestow in love and connection with others. This is what they need to do. They need to help him with that. And therefore, they need to talk about it in an emotional way and in a way that is more as convinced as possible to do that together with him. And then they won't even feel this transition. He'll feel that he's in this spiritual life, full of development and that are eternal and endless. And also the entire family. To the extent that he'll want to lose his egoistic body, his internal ego, to that extent he won't feel that he's losing his physical animal body. It won't be any barrier for him, any obstacle for him. Can you aim them in these talks to a certain type of discussion? Or there are entire books about it, if you want, even in religion. No, it depends how you interpret them. So maybe you can interpret them, because we're not going to send them to libraries to be confused by all kinds of books. We need something precise, so we won't waste his last days. So You said that they need to talk a lot between themselves and also with him. So it illustrates a kind of workshop for me. You'd like for them to do a kind of discussion, actually, something very heartful and emotional. So let's not allow this to be coincidental. Maybe you can give us some guiding questions, concrete questions for this situation, for this family and this person. I would tell him the entire process of life that we go through, of humanity, the development of humanity is one, like as if it was one lifetime. And I had explained to him the essence of a person, which is the will to receive, and how he exists in this life in order to finally reach the decision that this life is temporary and is only given to you in order to rise from degree to degree, just like we've moved from the still vegetative and animal levels. Now we need to go up to the speaking level, which is the degree of connection to the desires and thoughts of others, love thy neighbor as thyself. Why this direction, this process is called freedom from the angel of death? Explain. That if we rise above our will to receive, we don't feel death. We don't feel the loss. What is this will to receive you're talking about? You said before that we only want very limited things from life. It's a will to enjoy of on the levels of the of food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge. A will to receive on the animal level. I want to exist. I want to receive. This is called a will to receive. Is that not good to want to live? Isn't that the basis of life? If I think about it, of course it's not good. What do you mean you don't want to live? I want to live. But I need to reach a state in which I determine that this is not the form of life, that the form of life is different, not by being concerned for my body and for the levels of food, sex, money, honor, and knowledge, but caring for others, so much so that my caring for others and love thy neighbor as thyself needs to be more than my own concern for myself. And then by that, I get rid of the feeling of my animal body with all of its desires and lacks and all of its, and I don't even feel it as flesh. I transfer with my concerns only to others. And in this way, I reach the next stage. I am born on the higher dimension in the next world. And this is what we are all drawn to. So what are the rules there? Of mutuality, of arvut. Why do I get rid of the angel of death by that? I'm not getting rid of life. I'm getting rid of death specifically. Why? Because these evil men are called dead in their life. Why? Because the one who is only concerned about himself doesn't feel himself alive, because he's only alive in order to keep himself safe. But when I exit, when I go out to others and I feel the development that is limitless, that is unlimited, the unlimited fulfillment, I need to bring him. We need to develop this. If you're pressuring me so much, we need to develop these talks, this approach, of course, in accordance to the situation of a person. But actually, this is the line of thought. So then if I understand you correctly, there will be times in which, for example, they will watch this talk and hear these ideas that you're describing, and there will be also times you'll want them to talk amongst themselves. The family with he was ill? Yes? They should take an example from me and do the same. So let's say they'll sometimes watch something like a discussion with you, and then you'll talk to them from the screen. And would you also want for them to talk between the family members, I mean, including this person? Do they also need to watch to talk, or will they only watch the screen? Because after a while, they're tired of watching. if I'll give them a topic and guidelines, then it's desirable, because then I'd also have the family members go through this process of reaching the truth. Okay, so why don't you help us think about these guidelines, give us these guidelines. Well, they need to also feel this, understand this idea, to feel this process in order to convince him, because by convincing him, they convince themselves. They need to receive a lot of material in order to accompany him well, in order to truly enter emotionally with him this higher dimension of bestowal, so that he will see and feel how much they are together with him, so much so that they'll feel that they're not getting rid of him and he's not getting rid of them. But they're now connecting on a higher degree and continuing together. Even though his body disappears, they continue together because they've connected on a higher dimension that death does not apply to. How do they do that? Let's say they want to. Again, through these this education. Okay, but this is what they're asking about now. They're going through this education. Now they want to go through it. Well, they talk about, we talk with them about the laws of connection. What does it mean to be connected? Is this a discussion between them? Both between them, also with him. Now, let's just agree that it's all together, or do you think that they should do? I think it's better if they all do it together with the person who's ill, because between them they may act or play something artificially, but before him they're very pressured to speak from the heart. So therefore there is very strong self-convincing here. Okay, so the entire family together, including this person. So what do we talk about? What are the questions? How do we gain new life here and now? As is written, you shall see your world in your life. Does it matter who's alive or who is dead? We as humans, if we go up to the human level, then our body is no barrier between me and the eternal dimension. It's possible that this will be people who are also alive together with their donkey. Who's this donkey? The body, the flesh. And there could be people who are already without this donkey in the form of spirit. And they are in this mutual connection between them. The body is no obstacle or barrier between them. It's nothing. What is it? That it can be a disturbance? If we use the will to receive in order to bestow, then it helps us. We're not talking about the physical will to receive food, money, sex, honor, knowledge. It's the will to receive that wants everything for itself. And now this will to receive, where I wanted to use everyone for my own sake, I now want to bestow to them. I now want to give to them. This is the desire that already belongs to the connection with others, which is called the evil inclination, which I used it only for my own sake, and it will be called the good inclination if I use it for the sake of others, for the benefit of others. This is all we talk about. We're not talking about all kinds of desires, lower desires that are physical and so on. So I explained to them, what is the evil inclination? What is the good inclination? How do we limit ourselves in the feeling of life if we think of ourselves? And if we begin to open ourselves up towards others, how do we open these new senses, these new feelings of the new world? And this is how we advance with them. Let's say you leave them and you'll come back the next day. Let's say you start with this talk. Let's say you see them every day. So maybe you can give us an exercise for the time that you won't be together with us. Can we exercise this? How can we go from this desire to use others for my own benefit to be for them? I think they just need to repeat the same things that I did together with them, because they're constantly treating this person and the person who is ill. Right, they're maybe even at home during his last days, so give us some homework until we come back tomorrow. Just like I talk to them, they need to talk with this person the same way. So the homework is to talk about these ideas that the Rav Lightman talked to the family about. And should we also have the ill person talk about it? Of course, as much as possible, of course. And for all of them to supposedly play a game. They don't understand, they don't feel, they're not in it in a real way. In what? In their feeling or in their impressions from this idea to begin with, when I begin with them, but gradually by constantly being integrated in this, they begin to feel that, yes, really, nature is... It works in this way, and in this way that we're born in this way, and we live in this way in the world, and this is how we continue, and so on and so forth. So then we begin to feel the eternality of nature, this great circle. Will you talk to them all together? I think that I talk to him in their presence. They need to learn. And after I talk to him in their presence, I begin to gradually, according to what I feel, to connect them to me gradually so that they'll understand that actually all of our work is shared towards him to bring him to this feeling that is above this life. To convince him, to bring him such a mood, to bring him such an imagination. It doesn't matter how we call it. It's just like we talk about something foreign, strange. Most important, the most important thing is to help a person out of his trouble. So what is this strange thing? We're talking about spirituality, about the life outside the ill body. And when we begin to speak this way, then we enter this more and more. We begin to talk about possibilities and questions and answers, all kinds of things, that possibilities that are possible. And I help them into this process to think about this life that is outside the body, outside the will to receive. The body is called the will to receive for itself. The body is called my ego. And I turn it into a different body. On the next level, I turn around, I'm born. I want to be born. I want to aim my will to receive towards bestowal. You emphasized before that they need to cooperate with you in their external expression towards him. So, what will you aim them at? Is there a role play here? Or because the situation is so emotional and tender, they all need to enter this vibe. They need to support me in front of the person who is ill, the family. Yes, so... There's a stage where you're trying to have them. First, I talk to him. They listen. And then I ask them to join. And they understand that they need to join in order for us to begin to convince him to help him out of this trouble, to raise his mood. And so they'll be together with me, and they'll begin to influence him. And then we'll have a talk between us, they and him, and me together with them. We'll begin to have a talk. And this talk will constantly be about the higher state, an explanation about the higher state. How do we rise up there, and how do we build these vessels? Just like like we're born on the corporeal level, with the pregnancy and breastfeeding and consciousness and so on. How do we develop there in spirituality, in my connection to others? If I can't influence them, but only be there without disturbing them, let's say, in this society that is completely in mutual bestowal, and I only do not disturb them, this is called the inanimate level or the fetus. And afterwards, I want to participate a little bit, to receive, to give, as a small person, as one who's breastfeeding, as a participating in this world into which I was born. And this is how I explain it to them, as simple as possible. So that in parallel to what's happening in the corporeal world, we can learn about the spiritual world, the upper world. And they enter it more and more. The most important thing is to feel that he's in a good mood, he's rising above spiritually, he's in this good feeling, he disconnects from the illness, from the fear, he already has what to live from, he feels that he has what to advance towards, that he lives in order to attain a higher dimension, and believes, has faith, because this helps very much and also helps the family. And then this person begins to enter the actual experience and feeling. A person who suffers in such situations is able to go through this process very, very quickly in a very short time. And also they, together with him, because they identify with his trouble and they have to convince him, and that by that they convince themselves. By that they begin to feel that really the life towards the connection with others is a completely different life, which are real, even much more real than what we are feeling now, here and now, in this level that comes and goes. That it's on purpose that we have this consciousness of the world. Why do we see only from the beginning of life to the end of life? Why do we give children, birth children, and they continue after us? Why is life this way? Why is it spread out this way before us? Why? So that we would learn from it the higher degree, the higher dimension. When you're saying that they have to convince him that the life towards the connection to others is a completely different life, that is very real, how can they convince him? They have to convince him. Yeah, but how? By talking to each other, by showing him that they do agree, that they understand that this is the way it is. What do you mean they show him? And let's say they show him that they are seeing it, seeing that it's this way. So let's say that I am one of them, one of these family members. Now you demand from me to help this person and to show him that I need to convince him. I need to go into a state where I truly believe in it. Until this person dies, you, the entire family, lives in this feeling that there is no death, really. There's only new birth, rebirth. A transformation, a new degree of existence. And this feeling in which you live, first of all, gives you security, because you want to influence him with this security. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you begin to learn, just like we learn from all of our articles, how much these things are rational, how much they make sense. Depends who we're talking to. Just like you described it before, it was good. You gave the example of a typical family. Without scientific research, well, maybe a little psychology. whatever you want. Okay, so now I want to understand. So the family members have this responsibility, a new responsibility. What do you? They understand that they need to do everything possible to make these days better, health-wise, emotionally. And the family members, they are completely recruited for this mission. But now you're saying they have another mission, which is to convince the person who is ill that life out of connection of love to others, they will not end, they are not finite. That in this way you will attain an eternal existence. An eternal existence. All of us? Everyone, even the connection between the family members and this person will not end. If we all rise above our bodies to the mutual feeling of connection, of bestowal, the connection between us does not end. What does that mean? That we can reach a situation, a state that where we feel him and he feels us, that the body is not an obstacle, is not a barrier. Whether it's alive or dead, the body is no barrier. We can reach a state where we do not feel any of the people in the world, whether they're alive or dead. And this person, him too. Will we feel him? Yes, I just said so. So then for this purpose, the key, as I understand, is convincing. Yes? You recruited the family to convince the person who is ill of him and of themselves. But through this convincing, you draw these special forces from nature that truly change them, because you are the one who are doing, they're the ones who are going through this workshop. So a family member that heard these things that you just said as a teacher and really they connect to it, but they're still not feeling it. Now they have to convince him. They need to play at it. What do you mean? They need to play at the new state as if they're already there. To play at love of others, play at connection with others, play at already not thinking of myself. Play at it. Just like we learn from our method of the integral education. What are the laws of connection between people in the group? So I need to make these expressions towards him? Does that mean to convince him? Yes, and by that I also convince myself. And this is where the habit becomes a second nature. We don't feel the attitude between us. We're not scared anymore. We're not in trouble anymore. We don't feel depressed anymore. We have this liveliness. We have a life. We see this perspective in life, and is whether it's what's true and what isn't, and we begin to see it's truly this way on the part of nature, and so on. I changed through this. If it weren't this way, I wouldn't approach them as a therapist. Everything you just said in this talk, all of these talks will be very emotional, and you come and go. They stay with him and you go. So if you could leave a hidden camera and see what happens there after you've gone, what is the ideal picture in terms of atmosphere that you'd like to see there? A kind of atmosphere there. what they imagine to themselves on the higher degree of bestowal. How would you know that you've succeeded in guiding this family and instructing them? What would it look like? Each one needs to try and fulfill the desire of the other. How does this influence the ill person? He's also integrated by that. It heals his pains, it heals his illness. But he also needs to participate, right? Well, of course, as much as is possible. This is the ruler by which you measure this, right? Yes? This is how you measure it, how much each one can fulfill the other's desire? Yes, to be tied as one man and one heart in mutual guarantee. There are all kinds of families. It depends on the amount of suffering, that's all. Well, the person's about to die. That's enough suffering. There are warmer families, colder families. I am joking because what did I ask for? A measuring tool to see if they perceived what you taught them, if they grasped it. So you said that the measuring device is to see how much they can fulfill each other's desires. They feel that it's worthwhile for themselves, the family. Not even for the person who dies. So the grandpa dies, what can you do? Whether today or tomorrow, the doctor said so, it's all clear. But we do it for his sake. And suddenly they begin to feel that it's for their own sake. Also, in their relationships in the family and in general, in their outlook on life, it's worthwhile. It's good. What do you do with the moment that comes? The moment comes, and the person leaves physically, is not there anymore. I'm saying physically on purpose. After all that you've explained. Yeah, so what? So the most powerful feeling is a very great longing for those who stay. Well, whoever dies feels good. Yeah, well, we don't know. You should go ask him. No, I know because I went through clinical death. So that you have this great longing, this loss, feeling of loss of a dear person. So how do you deal with that? That's already something else. Life in this world after the death of someone, that's already something else. It depends on the degree of love towards him. There are those that don't really, well, the person died, what can you do? You sit 7 days, 30 days. But I'm asking this out of this state after we've already gone through this process. You've gone through this process with a family, and this moment comes after we've actually. They feel that they need to continue. That even after he dies, they should continue. Yes, they should continue with this direction for their entire lives to be above this egoistic life and the egoistic relationships between them and the entire world in general. Yes. So then this workshop, it does not end. It started at a certain point. Let's hope that this grandpa stays alive until they are corrected. So our time is almost up, so I would like if you could summarize what you just taught us in relation to the preparation towards this situation, what happens onwards. I didn't want to talk about these situations and treat these situations. You surprised me with that. But it's possible in such a way, more or less. Yeah, but talk to the family, to this family from now onwards. A sentence to summarize it from now onwards. Well, I wish for you for them to be healthy, all of them, and to have a double life. Made of two worlds, as it's called. For me, double is made up of two worlds. To live both in this corporeal world, to be happy and have everything you need, and also in the spiritual world, and then you'll feel that nothing ends. Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. So let's have all the best.
Michael Leitman, on Quora: is peace between Israel and Palestinians out of reach? Peace between Israel and any other nation depends on the Jewish people being at peace with each other. In the past, Israeli Jews were once united in times of war. Today, even war fails to unite us. There is no need for us to fight anyone. We will finish ourselves off with our own hands. Until we understand that everything depends on uniting above our divisions and discovering a common love, we will have no peace and calm with our neighbors. How does it work? It works because we are a special nation that was established not on biological ties, but on achieving the idea of love your friend as yourself, and it is that example of unity that will let us function as a healthy organ in the world. If we achieve such love for each other, then Palestinians will have no drive to fight us, and in general, the hatred against us will subside. If we wish to be at peace with Palestinians and the entire world, we first need to be at peace with each other. Based on the video, is peace between Israel and Palestinians out of reach? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.